Well, I can use this. Just don't both of them come on. Nobody here wants to hear me twice. Forgiveness is unity's glue. You know, we don't really coordinate our services per se, other than maybe the order of service or things like that. I had no idea what songs were going to be sung today, really. The worship team had no idea of the sermon title. Steve was so gracious enough to help us out today and do the communion service. He had no idea what the sermon title was or what the worship songs were leading into that. As I've been praying about this subject of forgiveness, it's huge. And I've been praying about it for months. I want to really thank the Holy Spirit for working in, like Jeremy, a couple weeks ago, he talked about mutual submission. That's a part of forgiveness. Even Troy, last week, again, he and I never talked about this, but he talked a little bit about, in part, about forgiveness in marriage and how God had really changed him. So what I'm going to try to bring to you today is we've talked about, Jeremy talked about mutual submission. Troy talked about forgiveness in marriage. I'm going to talk about forgiveness as the glue that that God has made for us for our unity of our body. A lot of these excerpts you'll hear today are taking out of a book called Until Unity by Francis Chan. Some of you are familiar with that book. Some of you have read it, maybe others that haven't. If you haven't read it, get with me after the service. I've got a few copies if you're really interested. Also, some of the information excerpts are taken out of the Reengage Handbook, which I know a lot of you around here have gone through that. So some of this may sound very familiar. You know, God is showing me, and he uses the body of Christ to show us all, through Jeremy, through Troy, through Francis Chan, through the writers of this Reengage Handbook, and other things through his word about how he is about unity. I think, above all, unity is God's goal for his body. And let me tell you a few things. If you think about our faith, Christianity, it's the most divided faith on this planet. There are thousands of denominations, theologies, methodologies. Not any other faith on this planet has as many divisions in it as we do. And if we came, and if we are believing in a God, the God of the Bible, that has written all of history, has created everything that we know, and if you look in the epistles, and even in the Proverbs, what God talks about unity, there's not an epistle from Paul's epistles, Peter's epistles, James' epistles, even in the Gospels, how much Jesus really talked about unity. And I'm going to go over a few of those today, but there are so many more. You can't go through the New Testament chapter by chapter and not see this theme built into God's Word. Now, I talked about all the denominations being divided, how they have different theologies and different methodologies. But division can also happen right here at Grace Bible Fellowship. We can have our feelings hurt. We can be offended. We can take offense. We can offend others. And maybe not even knowing that. So if we look at this from God's Word, I want to read Galatians, and if you'll turn with me to Galatians 5, 19 through 21. Paul's writing to the Galatians here, and It says, now the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealous, fits of anger, rivalries, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now we can look at that and go, well, I don't see any sorcerers around here, right? And we don't have any drunkenness going on. But think about those other ones. Think about strife. Think about anger. I get angry sometimes. What about envy? There's a lot in there that Paul's writing to the Galatians about that's going to prohibit us or inhibit us from the kingdom of God. Let's just don't gloss over that in a way with one another here that is thinking, oh, I've got most of them covered and I don't really have to worry about those things like sorcery or sensuality or sexual immorality, those things. But there's also other things that cause division in our body, in the body of Christ right here. And so what I'm proposing this morning is that we need to have unity. If we have division because of these things, we don't have unity. God is wanting us more than anything to have unity, and there's a lot of purposes. Also in Proverbs 19:11, some wisdom here, because we can all be offended and give offense, but the writer of Proverbs here in 19:11 says, the discretion of a man makes him slow to anger, and his glory is to overlook a transgression. I always thought I was pretty good at that, overlooking a transgression, you know. I read that when I found this verse, I go, oh, that's me. He's talking about me. But, as I examine the Galatians passage, I see that there's a lot in there that I don't overlook that maybe I should. And I think as the body of Christ, as we're called to overlook those transgressions, we need to do a better job about that. But what about those transgressions that we can overlook? What about those things that that divide us, that separate us, that cause envy, that cause strife, that cause jealousy, that causes divisions in the kingdom of God, right here in the body at Grace Bible Fellowship? Well, I want to submit to you a couple ideas that it was so important to God, so important to God, that Jesus was crucified for our division. If you got your Bibles handy, turn to Ephesians 2. We're going to go through a few verses here, and I want to highlight some things out of Ephesians 2, 13 through 22. It says this, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of the commandments contained in the ordinances, so that as to create in himself one new man from two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, kind of what Steve was talking about this morning, thereby putting to death enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off and to those who were near. For through him we both have the access by one Spirit to the Father. Now therefore, you no longer are strangers and foreigners, but we're fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, and in whom you are also being built together. In whom, let me read that again, in whom you are also being built together for a dwelling place of God's Spirit. So if you want to know that the idea that we're all priests, that we're all, and our bodies are God's temple, but as together, as we join together, this thought is that we together here at GBF and other believers, but here particularly is what I'm talking about, we are a temple of God together. And so we're being built together for a dwelling place for God's Spirit. God's Spirit lives in each one of us, but he lives in this place jointly, together with all of us. Christ died, crucified, for what Steve said today, so we could remember that he made us, through that crucifixion, resurrection, made us the dwelling place for his Spirit here on Shiloh Road today, and then tomorrow, if we're not here on Shiloh Road, if we're in the streets, or if we're at our jobs, or if we're in our homes. Let that sink in, guys. Christ died that we can become a dwelling place for his Spirit to live. Matthew 5:9 says that blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Now God loved us so much and wanted us to be this dwelling place that Christ died for us. But God also, he loved us so much that he's trying to end division in the body of Christ. God hated division so much. In Proverbs 16, verses 16 through 19, the writer of Proverbs has a really strong warning. And it says this: these six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him. When I read this, I think of myself. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among brethren. That's strong. It's strong for me, because I know who I am. I know the thoughts that go through my mind sometimes. And praise God that he's a forgiving God, that he's a loving God, that those sins that pass through my mind, he's forgiven me for. I fall down and I just, in my heart, I just worship him because of the way that he loves me and he's forgiven me. But nevertheless, how much he hates division in our body. These are the things that cause division. Not only does he hate it, not only did Jesus die for it, it was a horrible death, but God commands us. He commands us. When he did away with the law, when he was crucified to do away with the law, he gave us two things. He gave us the first commandment to love God. And right after that, in Matthew 22:39, he says this, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Of course, we know who our neighbors are. They're the folks that live across the fence. They're the folks that live in the backyard. They're the folks we run into every day. They're the folks in this room. They're the folks in Bastrop. And they're the folks all over the world. Again, in 1 Corinthians 1:10, the Apostle Paul is kind of reiterating that same thing, that same thought. And Paul to the Corinthians is desperate. He's pleading with them. He says this, "Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no division among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." So this isn't a new thing, this division thing, this enmity thing, this offense thing. It's not a new thing. Paul was warning about it 2,000 years ago. Christ commanded it 2,000 years ago. He died for it 2,000 years ago. It's not a new thing, but it's what his heart is. It's what he desires. It's what he desires of me. And I think it's what he desires of everyone else. Again, there are so many references to this throughout the epistles, the Gospels, even in the New Testament. Even you go to the book of Revelation, when Jesus writing the letters to the seven churches, you'll find a lot in there as well. So why is unity so important to God? I want to submit a couple things to you guys today and say it's what the Trinity wants. Think about in Genesis 1:26, then God said, "Let us make man in our image according to our likeness." God wants us to be with him. We had the first, the John 17:20-23 passage read today. He wants us to be in oneness with him. He wants us to be in oneness with each one of us. In part of that verse, in verse 20, I'm going to really shrink this down and give you the highlights here. "That they may be one as you and the Father are in me." That we may be one. The oneness that God has created that was in the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, he wants us to join in with him in that individually and corporately. So how can we be one with the Father if we're not one with one another? I submit to you that it's not only what the Trinity wants, it's what the world needs. The world needs us to be one. Kind of sounds weird, right? But if you look at Revelation, and in Revelation 20, 11 through 15, John writes this, and this is the last part of it. "And if anyone not found in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." So we're sending the world some pretty convoluted concepts of our God if we're not one. If we're not loving one another. Because in John 13:35, Jesus said this, red letters, "By this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." So if the outside world is looking at us, I remember before I became a Christian, I would see all these churches on the corner, you know? And I'm thinking, well, there's that church and this church and that other church. And, oh, they must be in competition to one another, kind of like the fried chicken restaurants or the hamburger joints. Everybody's got their own flavor. They've got their own special sauce. They've got all that. As a non-believer, that's what I believed. I'm going, well, it must be good for that guy. He likes Whataburger. Or that other guy, he likes Burger King. Or this other guy, he likes the Roadhouse or what have you, or P. Terry's now. The world is looking at us like we're hamburger joints or fried chicken places or taco shacks, that we're in competition with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Paul, you remember Paul the Apostle, kind of ran across this same problem when they were trying to lift him up in Apollos. And all Paul said was, this one thing I know, I preach Christ and him crucified. If we stick to who we are, then that is what God wants us to be. Not only does the Trinity want it, not only does the world need it because they're perishing, and we're not a chicken joint, we're not a hamburger place, we're the body of Christ. We're supposed to be reflecting him. The oneness of the Trinity should be the oneness that people see. It's because we've inherited that. In Romans 8, verses 11 through 14, Paul starts out and says this, "But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, if we really acting like the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is dwelling in us? Are we loving one another that shows the world around us that Christ died for us, that he died for them, that he wants them to have a relationship with them? So why did I say my title sermon is Forgiveness, Unity's Glue? Well, what is true forgiveness? It's the forgiveness that God gave us. What does that really mean? Giving up all claim of debt. Relinquishing that to God. So forgiveness is something we have to do. We're going to go around and we're probably going to offend one another in one way or the other. Whether that's a lot of crazy stuff. I don't know if you think about with your spouse. I offend my wife in a lot of ways over the years. And if we really think about it, none of it was amounted really to a hill of beans. I know we had this big conflict about how long you cook shrimp. It was either 2 minutes or 3 minutes. I offended her because I said it was three and she thought it was different. Again, it's over nothing. We do the same thing here in the body of Christ. What does this person wear? What does that person wear? Or when they come or how they sing or who stands up or who holds their hands up or who sits down and doesn't hold their hands up. Those things are not important. They're not important to God. God wants to see us as one. He wants us to love as he loves. Matthew 6:12. This is a part of the prayer, the Lord's Prayer that he given us. And in 6:12 it says, and so we're doing this forgiveness. It's between us and God. I need to be forgiving someone that's offended me, just between God and I. It's just between us. And he says this in Matthew 6:12. He says, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. So we're asking God in that prayer to forgive us like we forgive others. In Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates his own love toward us And that when while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So it doesn't mean we have to forgive one another because they've apologized, although we should. It doesn't mean we have to forgive one another because you're going to forget about it, because you probably won't. It's because while we were still sinners, God gave us this picture that he forgave us while we were still sinning against him in a way that broke his heart, that crushed him, that saddened him beyond the sadness that I've probably ever felt. He gave up, God gave up his claim of wrath on us by the death of his son while we were still sinning against him. Steve talked about Jesus' humanity, right, Steve, today. Humanly speaking, that's impossible to do. But remember, he has put his spirit in us that we may be one with him and one with one another. So if you have a debt that you're trying to collect, that somebody's offended you, injured you, between you and God, give up that debt. Forgiveness can really set us free. There's an acronym, FREE, F-R-E-E. And sometimes remember that and realize that forgiveness for God is a one-time thing. He forgave us our sins, past, present, future. We're going to still carry those around. People are going to still be offending us. They're still going to be wounding us. They're still going to be injuring us. So this forgiveness process is a continuation. It's a part of our sanctification. It's something that God calls us to do over and over and over and over again with one another. But it can set you free. And for the acronym FREE, F is face the truth of sin against you and grieve that hurt and then give it to God. R is for release your wounds to God and ask for healing. E is for entrust your debt of justice to God. And think about this. God will let no sin on this planet go unaccounted for. A bad thought, a harsh word, an angry look, envy, strife, jealousy, rivalry, dissension, division. All those things are sins against one another. God will not allow. He cannot allow to have any of those sins go unaccounted for. So his justice is only the true justice. His justice is only the pure justice. His justice is only the righteous justice. Our justice falls short every time. So entrust your debt, that debt claim that you have against someone that's wounded you, that's injured you, that's offended you. Entrust that debt claim for justice to God. And then the last E, this is the one we ought to celebrate. This is the one that is mind-blowing. It says, exalt God for offering peace through Christ to all. That means the guy that offended you. That means you. That means everyone. God's sons and daughters. We sit around here and we sit next to God's sons and daughters. Troy talked last week about God was his father-in-law. And so in that same vein, Deborah, that God's sons and daughters sit around us. And are we forgiving them? So you have this idea of glue. And so the product that God wants to produce in us as a body, as the body of Christ here at GBF, as the body of Christ here in Bastrop, and as the body of Christ all over the world, he wants to produce in us unity. Because they'll only know us, the world around us that isn't part of this body. They'll only know us by the love that we have for one another. The only way we're going to have love for one another is to be united, to be one together. I always like analogies, and this kind of comes from my construction background. But glue, and are typically made of different ingredients, things like that, depending on what their uses are. But the one thing about glue or adhesive, if anybody's ever worked with them, I'm sure everyone has, they're typically sticky, messy, and a lot of times they're difficult to apply. I don't know if you've ever been had a glue gun or a can of glue and trying to put it on something, but guess what? So is forgiveness. Forgiveness can be sticky. It can be messy. And for me, a lot of times it's hard to apply. Now we know that certain glues are made for certain things. Wood glues for wood, fabric glues for fabric, you got epoxies for metal, you got epoxies for fiberglass, right, Adam? And so, and then you got super glue that's for everything, right? Well, everybody knows that, you don't use epoxy metal glue on wood, and you don't use Elmer's on metal, and you don't use binding material for fabric. If you're making something with fabric, you don't use that on something else. And everybody knows that super glue seldom ever works for very long, if it's been my experience anyway. But God wants to fashion a product in his body called unity. And I think the glue he wants us to use is forgiveness. Because we're going to go around and we're going to be bumping into one another. If you think about glue and It adheres us together. Well, when you're in close proximity with one another, like we are in the body of Christ here at GBF, we're kind of passing by really close, right? I mean, and some of us get closer to others, and the closer we get causes friction. And friction causes offenses sometimes. Friction causes heat between two. But think about that if you're going between and you're around one another, but now you're glued together. You should be moving in that same motion. Wherever you're going, you're moving together so that the chance for friction becomes a lot less if you're glued together, and the only way you can be glued together is through glue and not friction between you. So God has supplied the ingredients for his bonding agent of forgiveness through his Holy Spirit. Galatians 5 2 and 22, 5, 22 through 26 says this, but the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. That is the ingredients that God has given us through his Holy Spirit, each one of us. Individually, to make the glue of forgiveness work. God has not only given it the ingredients through his Spirit, but he's also given the instructions of how to make that glue in his word. Ephesians 4, 31 and 32 says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted. Last part here, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. So he's given us the ingredients through His Spirit that live in us. He's given us the instruction in His Word of how that looks and what that looks like. And He's also given us an example in Himself. And Colossians 3, 12 and 13 says this, "Put on then, as God's chosen one, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another. And if anyone has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive." Forgiveness is not a choice. Forgiveness is not a feeling. Forgiveness is who we are. It's a noun. We are the forgiven. But it's a command. It's a decision that we make day in and day out with the people that you live in your household with, your kids, your wife, your family, the family here at GBF, the guy on the highway that just cut you off. Forgiveness is not a choice. It's not a feeling. It's something we're commanded to do. So, Father, as Your Spirit dwells within us, we pray that we'd be quick to forgive, hold short accounts, love one another like You love us. See us as You see us. Father, we want more of You living in us. Change me. Continue to rearrange me. And transform my body and my heart into Your likeness. That You would be honored and glorified. And through Your Son's name we pray. Amen.